Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Johnstown Flood by David McCullough is a narrative history of the catastrophic flood that devastated Johnstown, Pennsylvania in 1889. Drawing on extensive research and firsthand accounts, McCullough reconstructs the setting of an industrial boomtown in a narrow valley, the weather conditions that turned heavy rain into a deadly force, and the human decisions that made the disaster far worse. Central to the story is the South Fork Dam, an aging structure above the town that had been altered and inadequately maintained by the private South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club, a retreat for prominent Pittsburgh businessmen. The book balances engineering and geography with social history, showing how class divisions shaped both the risks people lived with and the way blame was assigned afterward. More than a disaster chronicle, it is an examination of responsibility, complacency, and the cost of ignoring warnings when convenience and prestige are at stake. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a vulnerable town in an industrial valley, McCullough situates Johnstown as a thriving late 19th century community built around steel and railroads, where prosperity and danger existed side by side. The town lay in a steep river valley, a geography that offered transportation advantages, but also created a natural funnel for water and debris. The book explores daily life across social lines, from working families living close to the river to business owners and civic leaders trying to keep pace with rapid growth. This context matters because it explains why people accepted certain risks as normal and why the physical layout of streets, bridges, and neighborhoods amplified the destruction once the flood arrived. McCullough also highlights how industrial schedules, immigration, and the rhythms of mill work shaped the town's preparedness and communication. By painting the place in detail, he makes clear that the flood was not just an isolated event, but the collision of a powerful natural system with a community whose location and infrastructure left little margin for error. The result is a grounded understanding of why the impact was so total and why recovery demanded more than rebuilding structures. It required rebuilding a sense of security and civic trust. Secondly, the South Fork Dam and the consequences of neglect. A major thread of the book is the history of the South Fork Dam, originally built for a canal-era reservoir and later repurposed when the South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club acquired the property. McCullough explains how modifications and maintenance choices affected the dam's ability to handle extraordinary rainfall. Seemingly practical changes, such as altering spillway capacity or adjusting the crest, become central because they reduced safety margins in ways that were not obvious to casual observers, but were critical during an extreme event. The narrative emphasizes that disasters often grow from incremental decisions, deferred repairs, and the assumption that past survival guarantees future safety. McCullough portrays the dam as both a physical structure and a symbol of institutional complacency, where ownership, prestige, and private control insulated decision makers from public scrutiny. By tracing warnings, rumors, and local concern, the book shows how risk can be socially normalized even when evidence accumulates. This topic also connects engineering to ethics, illustrating that technical vulnerabilities rarely exist alone. They are shaped by who has authority, who bears the consequences, and how responsibility is defined before and after failure. Thirdly, the day of the flood and the mechanics of catastrophe, McCullough delivers a minute-by-minute sense of how the flood unfolded, turning heavy rain into a fast-moving wall of water, mud, timber, and industrial debris. He describes the rising anxiety as rivers swelled, the desperate attempts to assess conditions upstream, and the moment the dam finally gave way. The power of the narrative lies in how it connects human perception to physical reality. People tried to interpret signs, sought higher ground, and relied on incomplete information, while the valley's geography magnified the flood's speed and impact. The book details how bridges, buildings, and rail infrastructure interacted with the flow, sometimes acting as temporary barriers that created even more destructive surges when they failed. McCullough also captures the chaos of immediate survival, including acts of courage, improvisation, and the grim randomness of who lived and who did not. By focusing on both the large-scale dynamics and the individual experiences, he clarifies why the event became one of the most notorious American disasters of its era. The flood is presented not as a single moment, but as a chain of physical and human reactions that escalated rapidly beyond control. Fourthly, aftermath, relief efforts, and the limits of response. The aftermath in McCullough's account is a test of community resilience and institutional capacity. With homes destroyed, bodies missing, and basic services shattered, Johnstown faced immediate needs for shelter, food, medical care, sanitation, and burial. The book highlights how relief efforts evolved, including the role of volunteer organizations and emerging large-scale aid systems. It also shows how disasters expose social inequalities, as the poorest residents often lost the most and had the fewest resources to start again, while public attention and donations could be uneven. McCullough examines the logistical challenges of clearing debris, restoring rail access, and preventing disease, all while grief and shock lingered. At the same time, the narrative underscores the human impulse to rebuild and reclaim normal life, with residents and outside helpers working in harsh conditions to make the town livable again. This topic demonstrates that recovery is not simply construction, it is coordination, governance, and emotional endurance. By detailing the practical difficulties and the tensions that accompanied aid distribution, the book offers a realistic view of how relief can be both life-saving and imperfect, shaped by urgency, limited information, and competing priorities. Lastly, accountability, class power, and lessons from modern risk, McCullough explores how the search for accountability unfolded after the flood, raising questions about legal responsibility, moral blame, and the influence of wealth. The South Fork Fishing and Hunting Club included prominent figures whose social and economic power affected public narratives and legal outcomes. The book examines how victims and observers tried to make sense of the tragedy, and how institutions responded when private decisions produced public harm. This is where the story expands beyond Johnstown into a broader American theme, the tension between rapid development, private privilege, and the public's expectation of safety. McCullough does not reduce the issue to simple villainy, but he highlights the structural realities that made it difficult for ordinary people to challenge powerful interests or obtain compensation. The topic also draws out enduring lessons about infrastructure oversight, transparency, and the danger of treating low-probability events as impossible. By connecting human choices to catastrophic consequences, the book invites readers to think about how modern communities manage dams, levees, bridges, and other high-stakes systems. It argues, through the logic of the historical case, that prevention depends on more than engineering. It depends on governance, ethics, and a culture that takes warnings seriously. In conclusion, this book fits readers who enjoy narrative history, disaster studies, American industrial era stories, and anyone interested in how infrastructure decisions affect public safety. It is also valuable for professionals and students in engineering, emergency management, public policy, and journalism because it demonstrates how technical factors, human judgment, and power dynamics intertwine long before a crisis becomes visible. The benefit to a reader's life is practical as well as reflective. It sharpens awareness of how small acts of neglect and confident assumptions can accumulate into large-scale failure, and it builds empathy for communities that must recover under extreme conditions. McCullough makes the consequences of risk management feel concrete, which can change how readers think about preparedness, accountability, and civic responsibility in their own towns. Compared with similar disaster histories, the book stands out for its balance of pace, clarity, and depth. It explains the setting and the mechanism of failure without losing the human story. Its disciplined storytelling and attention to context make it worth buying for readers who want a definitive, engaging account that also delivers enduring lessons about responsibility and resilience. If you would like to support David McCullough, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.